Across the globe are becoming increasingly less fertile. The worldwide fertility rate dropped by nearly 60%.
The lowest number of recorded births in 30 years.
Fertility rates have hit a record low.
The baby bust.
Why are the rates lower? What's happening here?
Your body's designed to do something. When you're told that you can't. If I ever had to say to my daughter that she won't be able to have children, it would be devastating.
Since women stopped being able to have babies, what's left to hope for?
When I heard about this story from East Africa about fertility, I thought to myself, that's me.
As a gynecologist, in the last few years, we have seen a dramatic increase in the number of women who are losing pregnancies, the number of women who are presenting with threatened abortion, with bleeding in early pregnancy. We're also seeing a lot of young couples with infertility.
Infertility is one of the most major problems now in gynecology in Africa.
They have seen the tears. They have lost their identity. You die inside.
The ultimate mystery, why are women infertile?
My journey with the miscarriages was very difficult. The first one, I carried that pregnancy for about 3 weeks. I got pregnant again, and I must have carried that pregnancy for about 4 weeks. I got pregnant a third time, and this time I carried that pregnancy for 10 weeks. I knew there was a problem.
When a woman is pregnant, her baby produces HCG through the placenta.
Human chorionic gonadotropin, HCG. What is that?
It's a first signal that tells the woman she is pregnant. It tells the ovaries to produce a second hormone called progesterone that then maintains the pregnancy.
I was tested and my anti-HCG levels were way up.
What does this mean? When a woman has antibodies, an immune reaction to HCG produced in her own body.
If you create antibodies against HCG, the minute the new baby forming in the woman's womb starts producing HCG, it is destroyed like it was bacteria or viruses, so that the signal is completely lost, and therefore the ovaries do not produce progesterone. So if you have high enough levels of anti-HCG antibodies, then the woman would actually just become sterile.
But how does a woman develop antibodies to HCG? Effectively, an autoimmune disease where the body is attacking itself. This was the question that was asked and answered by vaccine developers seeking to create an anti-fertility vaccine on behalf of the World Health Organization, starting in the early 1970s. This research and development program was undertaken in response to perceived overpopulation.
From 72 to 92, they spent 20 years funding the research for development of that vaccine.
These facts are indisputable. WHO, through its task force on vaccines for fertility regulation, has been supporting research on a synthetic vaccine against the HCG molecule. In order to immunize a woman against getting pregnant or abort a successful pregnancy, scientists discovered that physically combining the beta subunit of HCG with the tetanus toxoid used in the routine tetanus vaccine was the most effective approach. Not only did the woman develop antibodies against tetanus, she also produced antibodies against HCG, including that produced by her own body. But inevitably, an anti-fertility program faced challenges. Despite support from Kenya's leaders and what were described as elite groups, the response of Kenyan women was unenthusiastic. In particular, women's groups were concerned about the potential for abuse. Why? Because it had already happened. Women in the vaccine trials had already been sterilized without their knowledge or consent. Women were also worried that an anti-fertility vaccine campaign could be disguised as a tetanus vaccine program. Notably, the Catholic Women's League of the Philippines had won a court order halting a UNICEF anti-fertility program specifically using tetanus vaccine laced with HCG. By the time of the order, 3 million women had already been vaccinated. But by 1995, for those in favor of fertility control in Kenya, the time for action was long overdue.
World Health Organization brought in a tetanus campaign, and they said they wanted to eradicate neonatal tetanus.
According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, neonatal tetanus is a form of tetanus infection that occurs in newborn infants. Neonatal tetanus occurs in infants born without protective passive immunity because the mother herself is not immune. It usually occurs through infection of the unhealed umbilical stump, particularly when the umbilical cord is cut with an unsterile instrument.
We were already giving tetanus injections to all the pregnant women who were attending antenatal clinic to prevent neonatal tetanus. That was already part of the program in the country.
But here World Health Organization comes and says, no. We also want to give them outside pregnancy. And the question is, why?
At a conference in Houston, Texas in 1995, Dr. Karanja had learned of anti-fertility campaigns in other countries under the guise of tetanus vaccination programs. That same year, the WHO planned a tetanus vaccine campaign in Kenyan women of childbearing age. Dr. Karanja prevailed upon the leaders of the Catholic Church, a very large healthcare provider, to demand that the campaign vaccines be tested for HCG. On this occasion, the government shared their concerns. Without explanation, the WHO apparently abandoned their campaign. 19 years later, however, the WHO was back, this time with the Kenyan government's blessing. A neonatal tetanus program was started in October of that year.
Currently, we have a tetanus campaign being carried out in Baringo County. We are targeting girls from the ages of 15 to women of the ages of 49, basically the childbearing age.
And then there was the question of the vaccine schedule.
They can produce sterility with birth control vaccine, but they need to give multiple shots. It takes about 5 to really be effective. And they're spaced about 6 months apart. Now, it's interesting that tetanus vaccines can be spaced 5 years or maybe 10 years. You don't need a shot every 6 months, and you certainly don't need 5 of them.
The original plan was to give 5 doses spread over 6 months each.
This was the anti-fertility vaccine schedule. At this point, the Catholic Church decided to take the testing of vaccines for HCG into its own hands.
The vaccines we are testing were collected from the field during the time of the March 2014 campaign.
We got them from some of the nurses who were vaccinating.
In Nairobi, 3 independent accredited laboratories tested samples from vials of the WHO tetanus vaccine being used in March 2014 and found HCG where none should be present. In October 2014, 6 additional vials were obtained by Catholic doctors and were tested in 6 accredited laboratories. HCG was found in half the samples.
All the tests showed that the vaccine used in Kenya in March and October 2014
was raised with serum BHCG.
Beta HCG.
The human chorionic gonadotropin.
The bishops are now vowing not to allow the exercise to take place,
calling for the immediate suspension of the vaccine.
We are calling our people not to participate and not to allow themselves be influenced by what is happening without clear information.
The story made headlines around the world. In an effort to limit the fallout, the government stepped in.
It was then agreed that there would be a joint committee of experts to test the vaccines. So there was 3 people from the government and 3 people appointed by the Catholic bishops. We agreed we are going to test the 9 vaccines that we had already tested. We also agreed to go and take some samples from the regular tetanus vaccine store of the government.
A joint testing protocol was agreed upon using another, more specific detection method, high-performance liquid chromatography, HPLC. AgriQuest, an independent accredited testing facility, was contracted by Dr. Nicholas Muriguri, the government's director of medical services, to undertake analysis of vaccines. Muriguri urged AgriQuest to test samples provided by him rather than the previously tested samples obtained from the campaign. AgriQuest chose to analyze both sets of samples. Frederick Mathuri is the director of AgriQuest's Nairobi facility.
The committee of experts now gave us a letter appointing us now as the testing laboratory for this vaccine. We actually found that some of the vaccines were contaminated with the beta HCG.
Vials that were positive for HCG using the ELISA method were still positive for HCG using high-performance liquid chromatography, the HPLC test.
In 2 sets of analyses, AgriQuest found HCG in the same vaccine vials that tested positive earlier. However, AgriQuest found no HCG in 52 samples, not from the campaign, but from government stores, many with the same batch numbers as the vials that tested positive for HCG. Bizarrely, Nicholas Muriguri, on behalf of the government, wrote to AgriQuest demanding that they
alter the results to reflect that the vaccines were safe to be administered.
AgriQuest refused. The government went on the attack.
World Health Organization was extremely angry. And you do not confront World Health Organization in Africa.
The World Health Organization is encouraging mothers to continue taking the tetanus vaccine, which it says is safe.
The vaccine is indeed safe.
Safe. You're saying that this is 100% safe.
Absolutely safe.
Safe and free of beta HCG.
The altercation has forced WHO and UNICEF to respond, accusing the Catholic Church of peddling misinformation.
This evidence has been shown to have been dismissed.
It is safe and it does not adversely impact the reproductive capacity of the girls and women of this country.
The government side is quick to point out that only samples provided by the church were found to have been contaminated, yet they had the same batch numbers as those that tested negative.
Does that mean that the Catholic Church is lying?
One vial is open. I will not wait to ask who opened it, that's not important. Same family, have a closed vial, is negative. So I leave it to you to interpret what that means.
Their credibility cannot be confirmed.
The government publicly denounced the Catholic Church's concerns as baseless pronouncements,
not backed by any scientific evidence.
For Drs. Karanja and Ungare, the backlash had just begun.
We got letters from the medical board calling us for disciplinary action. And this is the board that registers doctors. So if they took away my license, then I wouldn't be able to practice as a doctor in this country.
A gag order was established against my person. I am not, from 2014, expected to talk about vaccines in this country because I am a danger. They say, and I don't know why they say that, that I am an influential person. And that when I talk against vaccine, that people will listen to me.
That brings this African story to its closing remarks. How baseless are the facts? What, if any, is the scientific evidence? There was an explicit intent through a 3-decade-long program of research and development by the WHO to develop an anti-fertility vaccine. The motive? To reduce female fertility in the face of alleged overpopulation. The WHO's research and development program had identified a conjugate, a chemically bonded form of beta-HCG and tetanus vaccine as the most effective formulation. And for a 5-dose schedule at 6-monthly intervals as being necessary to prevent successful pregnancy. The resulting anti-fertility vaccine was successfully trialed in developing countries. According to the WHO, up to 63 countries may have been targeted. The anti-fertility vaccine schedule was the one planned for use in Kenya's so-called neonatal tetanus vaccine campaign. Vaccine samples from the actual campaign were obtained and tested. The presence of HCG was confirmed using different tests in multiple laboratories. One of these laboratories, AgriQ Quest, was contracted by the government's Dr. Muriguri to analyze vaccine samples for beta-HCG. AgriQ Quest confirmed that the samples that tested positive for beta-HCG in other labs did so in their hands. Upon learning of these results, Dr. Muriguri demanded in writing that AgriQ Quest alter their report, refusing to pay for the testing when AgriQ Quest would not do so. However, tetanus vaccine samples provided from government stores, not from the field campaign, were negative. At this point, the government went on the offensive, declaring the vaccines
safe and free of beta-HCG.
To cover the anomaly of the positive tests, government officials and others appear to have encouraged speculation in the media that the positive campaign samples were tainted and had been tampered with. Here, we come to the key forensic evidence. The director of AgriQ Quest confirmed that the HCG tetanus toxoid conjugate that he had detected, the chemically bonded form, the same one that the WHO had been developing and testing for many years, could only have been introduced in the manufacturing process and not through later contamination with beta-HCG.
This is not something that you can actually take and put in a vial and test and find it. This hormone was actually riding on something else. So there was actually a hump and a peak. So it actually rides on something else, which shows it's actually chemically linked or bonded.
The HPLC test showed that this HCG was conjugated. It was connected to the tetanus toxoid.
At the time of production, it is made that way. They did not expect that these samples would actually be tested and whatever was claimed to actually be confirmed.
Despite that, Dr. Muriguri did go on national television to claim,
I think it's full of contradiction because they have not submitted any reports.
This is a report from AgriQuest Laboratory Analysis Report, the Joint Committee of Experts on Tetanus Toxoid Vaccine Testing. This is a report from Nairobi Hospital. This is a report from the University of Nairobi College of Health Sciences. This is a report from Lancet, Kenya.
Dr. Muriguri himself appeared to have forgotten that he had the report.
Even the report given to Dr. Karanja, which I'm calling here.
And furthermore,
the lab that they purported to have tested the vaccine has actually confirmed to me that no such a thing ever happened.
No laboratory ever tested the vaccine and found HCG.
That is not correct.
Dr. Muriguri's claims were false.
So it just means that somebody actually had something big to hide.
Which leads us to a disturbing turn of events. Despite alleged threats, harassment, and break-ins at his laboratory, on October 8th, 2020, AgriQ Quest director invited our cameras back. We were shown that the government samples of the tetanus vaccine bearing the same batch number as the campaign samples had been falsely relabeled.
It had been put another label.
Just the bottom part?
No, it was all over.
And then the whole thing fell off?
Yes, it fell off. Yeah, the label showed Serum, but the label below showed another different company.
Underneath the false label was not only a different batch number, but a completely different manufacturer. Despite the health secretary stating publicly that for Kenya,
the source is just one.
This is also false. It appears that there were at least two suppliers of the tetanus vaccine to Kenya, the Serum Institute of India and Biological E Limited, in that the contents of their vaccine vials were different.
It's really sad when you see pharmaceutical industry and people interested in profit and maybe other things like population control actually injuring people on purpose to achieve their ends.
To imagine that a system somewhere, some people somewhere, are behind my inability to carry pregnancy to term, that is a diabolical agenda.
And woe to them, because as long as I'm here alive in this world, they bring in vaccines here, I will hunt it down, analyze it, and tell the Kenyan people what it is.
In a story that is reminiscent of Jean Le Carre's The Constant Gardener, on April 29th, 2021, Dr. Karanja was killed, officially by the SARS-CoV-2 virus. The late Dr. Karanja had a message for the rest of the world.
When they are through with Africa, they're coming for you. Keep your children ready. They will come for them, and they'll come for you.
I've been concerned about Bill Gates for some time, and the first contact I had with his agenda was at a meeting that I went to the American Society of Pediatric and Adolescent Gynecologists. The guest of honor was Malcolm Potts, who was from Berkeley, University of California. He was the head of the International Planned Parenthood Federation. He was an advisor to Bill Gates. He was in the know about what Bill Gates was doing. Now picture this, we're sitting at a breakout session and he was boasting about the success of their program in Africa. They would have Depo-Provera parties every month, and they would bring all sorts of baubles and beads and gifts to the young girls as young as 12 years of age, and that would be an opportunity for them to inject them with Depo-Provera, which ensured infertility in those young tribal women. It also ensured the end of their normal reproductive cycles for the time that they were on the Depo-Provera, and in the majority of cases, far beyond. I've seen many, many cases where Depo-Provera has caused permanent infertility. It's hard to believe that these African girls even knew what was happening to them, because many of them hadn't even had their reproductive cycles in place long enough to know what normal is. Of course, the unknowing young girls were not made aware of the fact that this would deprive them of their reproductive cycles and likely their fertility for not just months, but years, and lead to premature osteoporosis, obesity, depression, and other severe consequences. You're basically taking away that woman's reproductive health. The work that they were doing in Africa was under the auspices of the Gates Foundation. In retrospect, kind of concerned me then and concerns me even more now as we see a lot of what has happened with the Gardasil vaccine and potentially other newer vaccines.
We're injecting these vaccines into the shoulder muscle. The assumption, all up until now, that they don't go anywhere other than the injection site. Is it a safe assumption? Absolutely not. The spike protein gets into the blood. It accumulates at quite high concentrations in the ovaries. But the spike protein is a pathogenic protein. It is a toxin. It can cause damage in our body. We made a big mistake. We didn't realize it until now. Will we be rendering young people infertile?